This evening we're continuing our studies, which are titled From Here to There, as we consider what it is exactly that the Bible teaches about that great hope that we all have as Christian believers, the hope of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and of everlasting life for all who believe in Him. A few weeks ago, we were considering something which is known as the intermediate state. What is it that happens to your soul when you die, while we're waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? The last couple of weeks, Eamon has been considering with us the return of Christ and all that's involved in that. But what of those who died before Christ's return? We reminded ourselves that death brings about the separation of our bodies and our soul. It's only the body that actually dies. The soul is eternal. And we saw that our souls go immediately to the place where we will spend all eternity, to heaven or to hell. We reminded ourselves that to be without a body is to be in an unnatural condition and is not to be our final state. We read in God's word in Job, "After my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God." It's a bit of a contradiction, isn't it? After my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. How can that be? Well, we'll find out. We read in God's word that we should be eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. The Bible teaches that when Christ returns, there will be a resurrection of all who have died, by which we mean physical death. Paul reminded us in his prayer that for those of us who are Christian believers, we have in one sense already experienced a resurrection. And that is the resurrection of our souls when we came to faith in Christ. The Bible uses a phrase, to be born again. Paul, when he's writing to the Ephesians, says, "You who were dead have been made alive." And that's something that happens at conversion. So in one sense, we've already experienced a resurrection. Whenever we have a baptismal service in the pool here, we have a picture there of death and resurrection. Speaking of that new birth into which we are all brought by God's grace when we believe and trust in Christ. But the Bible teaches that when Christ returns, there will be a resurrection of all who have died, believers and unbelievers, the saved and the unsaved, that the body and the soul might be reunited. Even Job understood that when he said, "After my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God." Some Christians have found themselves on their deathbed frightened because no one has ever explained to them these great truths of the gospel. They're not sure what's going to happen. And it's vital that we all know. The Bible tells us precisely what we can expect. The Bible tells us there is nothing to fear. If you're in Christ, there's nothing to fear in death. And so we're going to consider this evening the resurrection. And it's our resurrection that we're talking about this evening. Hopefully you've been given a little sheet on your way in. There were quite a few Bible references this evening, so I thought it might be more helpful for you to have them printed out rather than frantic scribbling and wondering whether you've missed one. And as always, I would commend to you that you do take time at some stage during this coming week to just go through and open your Bibles for yourselves. Check out the scriptures. See that these things are so. Very important that you are persuaded by the scriptures that this is God's truth. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. And if you've missed either of the last 2 weeks, when Amon was addressing that particular issue, and he was also looking at some of the more debated areas of theology where good Christian people actually have different views and opinions and interpretations of the scriptures as to exactly what those events will be and the order that they will be in and the time scale of them. There are differences of opinion across the Christian community. But of this one thing, everyone is agreed. The Lord Jesus Christ will return. And one of the things that will immediately follow his return is the resurrection. And so we're going to look at that this evening. We'll just simply follow the headings that you have there. And we'll see what the scriptures have to say. In a number of areas, we'll simply allow the scriptures to speak for themselves because they speak with such clarity. At times, we'll just pause and reflect upon a few of those things as we make our way through. So, first heading, the resurrection is. And here are three things that we can say from the Bible that the resurrection is. Number one, the resurrection is a fact. The Word of God says in various places this: many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Daniel 12. In the New Testament, I have hope in God, the believer can say, which they themselves also accept, speaking of other believers, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And in the final book of Revelation, in chapter 20, we read these words: and I saw the dead, small and great. That's not talking about physical stature. That's talking about how we might perceive people's position on the earth. The great, those who might be considered noble, powerful, in positions of great influence. The small, those who might regard themselves or be regarded as just a nobody. John, in his vision, sees them all. No difference now. They're all there. The small and the great. And where are they? Standing before God. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you think you are. It doesn't matter what others think you are. It doesn't matter if you think you're someone. It doesn't matter if you think you're no one. All will stand before God. You will stand before God one day. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. Everyone. Everyone. Standing before God. I don't know whether you can possibly picture in your mind what that will look like. Every man, every woman, every teenager, every child, every baby in arms that's ever been on the face of this planet will stand before the living God. Will you be ready for that day? Because it's coming. The resurrection is a fact. Secondly, God's word tells us that it is certain. It is certain. Paul said this: if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Hundreds had seen the risen Christ. It's one of the most concrete facts in all of history. No one who has set out to disprove the resurrection of Christ has ever been able to. Some have even come to saving faith as the result of that particular quest. The resurrection is certain. Paul also says these words: yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. So what he's saying there is, if it's impossible for the dead to rise, and we've been testifying that God did raise Christ, then we're false witnesses. We're telling lies. We're peddling mistruths. If God did not raise up Christ, if resurrection is impossible, and we're telling people that we've seen the risen Christ, then that makes us false witnesses. That's what Paul's saying. If the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. But now, Christ is risen from the dead. And as I've said, no one who has set out to try and disprove it has ever achieved it. Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man, the Lord Jesus Christ, also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. The resurrection is a fact. The resurrection is certain. Will you be ready when that day arrives? Now, of course, as all of these great truths from God's word and others that we have yet to consider have been put together over the centuries, many of you will be aware that various statements of faith have been put together. And these great truths from the scriptures have been teased out, and great saints in the past have put them in a logical order in order that we can understand them and explain them. And one of the great documents that we have from a few centuries back now is the Westminster Confession of Faith. It's just a lovely summary of Christian doctrine. I would encourage you, as a little aside, if you've never read it, you really should. Because it's a summary of everything that you should believe as a Christian believer. And if you want an easy way to get a hold of it, go onto the esword.net website, and there, that is one of dozens and dozens of very excellent pieces of Christian literature that you can download onto your computer free of charge, and you can read it yourself, print it out if you want to, and have a look. You'll find it there, with all the Bible references supporting all of that wonderful truth. But on the issue of resurrection, this is what the Westminster Confession says. At the last day, if you've been here the last few weeks, you'll be familiar with that term. At the last day, such as are found alive shall not die. So if you're alive physically when Christ returns, you won't see death, but be changed. And all the dead shall be raised up with the selfsame bodies and none other, although with different qualities, which shall be united again to their souls forever. So we'll all be raised. In 1 Corinthians 15, we read these words, each one in his own order. By that it's understood that we will actually be raised in bodies as we have now in terms of being recognizable. So we would recognize one another. But the quality of our body will be different. We'll come on to that a little bit later. So we'll be raised up with these selfsame bodies, which shall be united again to their souls forever. Death, you remember we saw, separates body from soul. It's a very unnatural condition that sin has brought about. At the resurrection, soul and body will be united again. The bodies of the unjust shall, by the power of Christ, be raised to dishonour, the bodies of the just, by his Spirit, unto honour, and be made conformable to his own glorious body. Well, there's some things there we haven't yet considered, but that's a wonderful statement of truth. What a great thing to know. If you're a Christian, that's about you. Wonderful truth for you to know. Well, let's get back to our title, The Resurrection Is. It's a fact, it's certain, and it's a single event. A single event. In that passage in John 5 that Paul read for us, we read these words, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who've done good to the resurrection of life, those who've done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." In 1 Corinthians 15, we read that as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is a very helpful passage. We've referred to it a few times already in this series. And that also makes it clear that what the Bible is talking about here is one event. Just the one. Paul says, "I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who've fallen asleep, those who've died as Christian believers, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." Because you do have hope. What is that hope, Paul? We believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So those who have died will be with Christ when he returns. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." Comfort one another with these words. Now, you'll have seen, last week in particular, when Eamon was speaking, Some people have some very convoluted ideas as to all of these events that are going to take place. And some people argue for multiple resurrections. Well, there'll be a resurrection here, then there's going to be a gap of so many years, then there'll be another resurrection. There'll be a gap, there'll be another resurrection. The Bible speaks of one event, but there is an order to it. This isn't twisting the Bible to make it say something that we want it to say. It is a fact. One resurrection, but there is order in it. If you go out for a three-course meal, you don't consider that you've had three meals, but one meal made up of three courses in a prescribed order. It's all the one thing. And so there are several stages within the one resurrection. The dead in Christ will rise first. But elsewhere in the scripture, it clearly teaches all will rise. One resurrection. Just one event on the horizon. So we can see very clearly from the Bible that the resurrection is a fact, it is certain, and it's a single event when Christ returns. Now, something else. You may have noticed certain phrases that have cropped up in a number of those references that we've looked at already. And the Bible teaches that there are two destinations. You're raised to life, or you're raised to condemnation. Did you notice some of those phrases that were used? Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. There will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. All who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. All. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Now, it could just be that some of you who are here this morning think, hang on, whoa. Those who have done good? What was all that this morning about not being able to keep the law and not being able to work yourself into heaven and not being able to work yourself righteous? Those who have done good? Contradiction? No. What is that one good thing that we saw this morning that will save you? It is believing. What is that one thing that Abraham did? It wasn't the law keeping. He believed in his God. And what is it that will condemn anyone else? It is unbelief. It is refusing to believe. It is refusing to trust in Christ. It is being presented with the gospel message and saying, no, thank you. This is something which escapes many people. When we speak of the promise of everlasting life, even Christians can forget to mention that there is an opposite waiting for all who remain in unbelief. But the Bible never holds back on this particular truth. Do you remember that in Galatians 3 this morning, we were told very clearly that there are only two possible destinies for men and women: blessing or curse. Blessing or curse. And here in these scriptures which speak of the resurrection, we see the fulfillment of that solemn warning. We see that Paul was right when he speaks to the Galatians. There is only blessing or curse. Because when everyone rises on that last day, there will be only two possible outcomes: being raised to everlasting life, or being raised to condemnation. Where will you be? It's been mentioned twice now today. Where will you be? Amon, when he's conducting his membership interviews, will nearly always ask one particular question. Some of you know already what that question is. It's this: what will happen to you if you die tonight? Some people smile and yet shift rather uncomfortably in their seat when they hear that Amon has asked such a direct question, Yorkshireman that he is. But is he not right to ask it? There is only two possibilities open to you: blessing or curse, being raised to everlasting life, or being raised to condemnation. So let me ask you. Amon's not here this evening, he's not feeling very well. So let me ask you, what would happen to you if you died tonight? Perhaps if we consider what the Bible teaches, we would take this subject a bit more seriously than perhaps we do. Two destinations on that day: life or condemnation. And so because of that, we actually find that the Bible speaks of two types of resurrection body. There's the resurrection body of condemnation, and there is the resurrection body of life. So let's just consider those. You've got some references on your sheets there. The resurrection body of condemnation. If you die in your unbelief, what can you expect? Some will rise again to shame and everlasting contempt. Their worm does not die, and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. They will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, precisely how much of those descriptions can be taken literally or figuratively is difficult to know. But whatever it's speaking of a place of everlasting torment and punishment. Make no mistake about it. And you will be in a body, and that will be your experience. And if you're without Christ, that is why we say you are without hope. Because that will be you on that resurrection day. If you're a Christian, what of you? Here is the great hope of the gospel: the resurrection body of life. Listen to how the scriptures describe it. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, I can't tell you in great detail what exactly it's going to be like, but I can tell you, you'll be like Christ. And if that's not enough for you, well, you need your head examining. You'll be like Christ. Think of how he was after he'd risen from the dead. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the God-man. The Lord Jesus Christ right now is a man with a body in heaven at the right hand of the Father. He's gone back into heaven in a state that he wasn't in when he came from heaven and was born. He went back into heaven. The apostles saw him ascend in the clouds in a body. And it was a body that could sit down with them and eat a meal. It was a body that they could approach and that they could touch. It was a body that bore the scars from the awful, cruel beating and crucifixion that he'd experienced. All the marks were still on it. It was a body that they could embrace. It was a body that could appear in a locked room from nowhere. It was a body that was able to ascend into heaven. And it was fit for heaven. And it will last forever. When Christ returns, he'll be in that body. And when you are raised to everlasting life, when your salvation is completed on that great and last day, you will be like him. I can't tell you any more detail than that. But I tell you what, that's enough for me. You'll be like him. And the Bible contrasts that body that we will have on that resurrection day with the bodies that we have now. In 1 Corinthians 15, we read of this great contrast. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42 to 44. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. When you die, your body will go into the grave and you will rot. On that resurrection day, you will be given a body that will never decay. It's fit for all of eternity. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. These bodies are sinful. But we'll have gloriously sinless bodies on that day. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Verse 48, as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, the Lord Jesus, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. What a day. What a day. The archangel will be heard. The trumpet of heaven will be heard. Christ will return. The dead will rise, all of them. All of them. Some people raise questions about whether or not Christians should be buried or cremated. Well, the reality is, it doesn't matter what's happened to your body. And it doesn't matter whether you were responsible for the decision or whether someone else was responsible for what happened to your body. Everyone will rise. Everyone will be reunited with their body. If God can make Adam out of the dust of the earth, he can sort out all those practicalities about bodies that have been so thoroughly destroyed. But as a Christian, whilst I would never tell another Christian that they cannot be cremated, it's a wonderful final witness. It's a wonderful final act of testimony to be buried in the earth in your physical body, which is about to rot, knowing that when Christ returns, you will be raised in a new body. And it's a wonderful final testament of God's grace. That's as much as I'll say. The Apostle Paul understood all of these things. And he looked forward to that day when Christ would return, because he understood what the resurrection was all about, you see. And death held no fear for him. We believe he was martyred for his faith. But that didn't worry him. Why not? Because for him, to live is Christ, but to die, that's just gain. And if you're a Christian believer, then you can join Paul with that great anthem. For me, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Because one day, when Christ returns, I will be with him forever. Do you have that hope this evening? I pray that you will.